So before we begin this evening, I want you to just remember these two things, okay? First one is, if I say the word Sabbath, think Sunday. And in a Jewish context, think Saturday, okay? So just think Sunday and Saturday if I use the word Sabbath. Okay, shall we begin? So I don't know about you, but I've heard it's been said that Sabbath is an outdated ideology put forward by the church to control people what they do one day a week. Now, some of you probably haven't heard that said, but at university, this was one thing which was often put to me and put to me at school, that basically you just go to church because church want you to go to church on a Sunday, you know. So how would you respond to this claim? Well, if you were an Orthodox Jew who follows the Sabbath, they follow 39 biblical principles, okay, which have been interpreted into modern day life, which constitute, there is a limit to the amount of writing you can do on a Sabbath. You are not allowed to make monetary transactions. You can only operate lights and electricity at certain points. Cooking is limited, driving is limited, and even using a hot tap. In fact, when I was at school, and I heard this from a teacher, so I don't know whether it's true, but my teacher did once tell me that in some Jewish households, they have a water cushion which they put on the seat of their car as they're driving because there is no limit by travelling by water, but there is driving your car. True, I don't know whether it is. Heard it at school, stuck with it ever since. So, these rules, okay, what is applicable to me today as a Christian then? Especially a Christian in the 21st century. What are the do's, what are the don'ts, what am I allowed to do, what am I not allowed to do? And how do I become resilient to the noise of life and do Sabbath the way that God wants me to do it today? How do I become Sabbath resilient? And that's our theme for tonight. So imagine this scenario, and it's a made-up scenario. So imagine this mum and dad, and they have like a 13-month-old daughter. And if you don't know, I have a 13-month daughter, but it's a friend of mine, close friend of mine. And, you know, you've had very little sleep all week, you know. The 13-month-old's had a cold, teeth are coming. Every 5 o'clock, they go, morning, playtime. And you go, brilliant, super, I just want to go back to bed. Comes to Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, preparing to go to the 10:30 service. And she nods off. 10 o'clock comes, 13-month-old still asleep. What do you do? Do you take the opportunity to go, oh, I'll just have a rest, but I should go to church? Or do you wake the 13-month-old knowing that you're going to have a horrific day for the rest of the day, the fact that you're going to be sat at church and going, I'm just so tired, and the fact that you're going to have to keep somebody up? By the way, this is literally based on nobody but just a friend of mine, okay? So is it wrong to miss church, you know, especially when I need to have a rest? Over many centuries, people have mulled over similar questions, maybe not about the 13-month-old, because that would be a long conversation, but similar questions, like, what does it actually mean when the scripture tells me to keep the Sabbath day holy? How does Sabbath rest play out in a world which has never has an off button, where people work shifts, work 7 days a week, and there's always something to do, watch, play, or, you know, whatever, 24 hours a day? Well, tonight we're going to go down a slightly unusual route, okay? Because we're going to presume that Sabbath is outdated. We're going to presume that, but out of presuming that, we're going to see that actually we needed Sabbath more than ever today, okay? In our work life, on our school life, or at uni. So let's begin on this journey. By the way, just a little side note. Some of these Bible references I know will have been taken out of context slightly to prove the point of why Sabbath isn't applicable today, but we'll see that in a bit. Okay. So Jesus said, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So, therefore, great. Don't have to do church, do I? Don't have to really follow the Sabbath, don't really need to do anything. Superb. Rule number two. Reason number two. The law in the Old Testament was given to the Jews and not the Gentiles. Now, if you don't know what a Gentile is a non-Jew, okay? A non-Jewish person. So therefore, that would be like me, you, most of us here. And Exodus 31, verse 13 says, "Say to the Israelites, you must obey my Sabbaths, says the Lord. This will be the sign between me and you for all generations to come, that you may know that I am Lord who makes you holy." Therefore, this is about the Jews, as we read, retelling the story of how they came out of Egypt, how God saved them. And therefore, as Christians, not really that relevant, is it? Because we live under a new covenant, new promise through God, through Jesus. And therefore, the Sabbath surely is an Old Testament concept. Totally irrelevant. Number three, it just seems a lot of hard work, doesn't it? Let's be honest, right? All these rules we have to follow, what I can, what I can't do. Do you know what? If I just ignore it, then maybe it'll just be easier. That's actually what's better. I can have a rest. I can do whatever I like. It's relaxing. It's de-stressing. Therefore, that would make more sense. And then number four, Paul says in his book to the Romans, it says in verse 14, verse 5, "One person considers one day more sacred than the other. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so also for the Lord and gives thanks to God." You see, it's implying that some people can and some people can't. Some people can keep the Sabbath day holy and some people, you know, can do whatever they want. And they should be respected for that. Anyway, rule number... Hang on a second. If Paul's saying that some people can and some people can't, then that implies a freedom to it, doesn't it? Whether you can observe the Sabbath or not. Jesus also indicates a little bit of this by saying man was made for the Sabbath. But when you use the term freedom, it often implies a positivity, perhaps a positive choice. If you go to Google, which is obviously the fountain of all knowledge, Google says that freedom is a special privilege or right of access. Therefore, it's a positive. So what's the positive in following all these rules of do's and don'ts, what I can and can't do, how much writing I can do, whether I can spend my money, and all this? Surely this sounds just too complicated to be a positive thing for my life. And in reading Deuteronomy, it certainly indicates that it's part of the law, it's part of the Ten Commandments. Therefore, you know, it's not one of freedom. So how do these two marry together? Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you to do. It certainly doesn't sound compatible. But if we take a step back, and we look at Deuteronomy and we ask ourselves, what is the purpose of the law that God gave to the Jewish nation? And if we take this step back, we probably look at the context it was given. Most of us will remember that actually the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai. And this comes just after Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt where they've been in slavery and God had parted the Red Sea and had been with them and was leading them on to the Promised Land. And as we mentioned before in Exodus 31:13, it mentions that Sabbath is the retelling of Israel, the Israelite nation's history, and is being used as a teaching tool, helping the next generation to remember what God has done for them and to understand it. More intriguingly for me, reading this and understanding the context behind it, the rationale for Sabbath keeping in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, in the Ten Commandments, focuses not of one of control, of do's and don'ts, but actually God's liberation for the nation of Israel from Egypt. Are you with me? Yeah? See, Sabbath is the great equalizer, okay? It's where people sit down, have a meal, you know, at God's table of grace, so often at Passover if you were a Jew, and you enjoy fellowship, remembering that you have been redeemed, you've been set free. Social, gender, ethnicity differences, try saying that, become more irrelevant because God has brought each and every one of you out of Egypt. And as Christians, it's almost the same thing. You see, if we read Deuteronomy 15 again, it says, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And as we look behind us, you can see a picture of Jesus there. And often when I read this, I hear a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. It reminds me that Jesus is there on the cross for each and every one of us with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. You see, therefore, as Christians, the purpose of Sabbath, the purpose of Sunday, the purpose of church, it's not one of, you know, rules and control, but actually remembrance of what God has done for us. The fact that we can be called God's new creation. The fact that, you know, even though we do wrong, Jesus still loves us. And it's a reminder of that. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's great. But sometimes, you know, Sunday comes, and you've mentioned, you know, sometimes you're tired. Sometimes, you know, I might work shifts. Maybe I've got an assignment, an essay, and therefore, actually, sometimes I've just got to get it done. Maybe, just maybe, the flights on EasyJet are cheaper on a Sunday, so therefore you fly on a Sunday rather than flying on a Saturday. Should I feel guilty about that? Should I feel, you know, I'm letting God down by doing that? Not at all. I don't think so. You see, remember, Paul defines Sabbath as a freedom. It's not defined by a specific day for us, especially in the 21st century where we've got shift patterns and stuff like that, which things get in the way. But it is more about thinking about the purpose of what Sabbath is. So let's define it as the Sabbath way of life, okay? Imagine the Sabbath way of life, where we take what Sabbath represents and bring it forward to today's society. So what does Sabbath represent? It represents fellowship. It's spending time with fellow believers, as a church family maybe, or maybe your family at home. Therefore, it's not a coincidence in my mind that the next commandment in the Ten Commandments is about honouring your mum and dad, because it's about respecting one another, whether that's your physical mum and dad or whether that's your mum and dad at school in form of the teacher, or maybe it's those people around you in church. It's about honouring one another. It's about remembrance. Number two, remembrance. Remembering what God has done for us through his son. Number three is worship. In remembrance, we can worship the Lord who has saved each and every one of us, who blesses us, who listens to us. And that brings us on to number four. It's about prayer. It's about praying, chatting to God, sharing our concerns, which we may have about school or about life. And then number five is about rest and reflection. James last week, when he was speaking about Sabbath, put it in a really good way of basically it's about taking a step back after you've completed a painting and going, wow, you know, how amazing is that? It's about taking that time to step back, rest, reflect on what the week has just passed and accepting the next week is a new week. So note all these things, these five things, they aren't mutually exclusive to Sunday mornings. Okay, these are things which maybe we do through attending church, and that I don't want to be misconstrued. I don't want to be, you know, taken out of context. I think church is fantastic, and it's where you should try and be on a Sunday as much as possible. But it isn't mutually exclusive. It's about doing this 24 hours a day. It's about living the Sabbath way of life, and it's about taking little pockets of time in your week where you can spend time with God, whether that's, you know, having fellowship with your baby daughter at 4:30 in the morning when you're sort of just thinking, oh, I just want to go to bed, but actually embracing that as much as possible. That's the challenge which I imagine this theoretical person has tried to get from this message so far. Maybe it's about doing your homework and doing it for the best of your ability because God has given you a gift. And therefore, by doing your work, whether that's at work or whether that's for school, you know, you're training basically the gifts that God's given you. Maybe it's your act of worship doing those things. So as we go out into the next week coming up, whether that's a coffee in the morning, or your commute to work, or your walk to school, take time to think about those five things. Set time aside to have fellowship with people, to take time in remembering what God has done, of how much he loves you. Worship through work, the work that you do, or whether that's music, listening to it in your headphones, through prayer, and maybe resting, just refueling, you know. Next week, we've got Sabbath Sunday, and we haven't got an evening service or a morning service, okay? And that's not because there's some small cycle race happening in Harrogate or something like that. It's about taking these five principles and thinking more, you know, taking the opportunity to step back and go, actually, how can I do these more often? How can I actually do them in my day-to-day life? And therefore, having the opportunity on Sunday, instead of coming here, to try and put things into practice in your life of living a Christian life more and more during the week. So I suppose that's it. In my view, you may disagree, you may not agree, that's fine. But to become resilient to the things of the world, the things which bring us down, it's about living Sabbath, becoming Sabbath resilient. Okay, and that's our word for this evening.